Hello and welcome to Launch. We are broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Ron Reardon. I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, Bill McHenry. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Good morning, Ron. How are you? Hot day here in Atlanta.
Oh, man, it's a scorcher. I'm telling you what, people are dropping like flies. You could cook an egg on the sidewalk. You know,
it's awful.
I'm telling you what. Well, Bill, on Launch, we feature innovators, entrepreneurs, and related industries, and we give our listeners the opportunity to learn from both successes and failures of launching an idea and the journey that follows. You know, this morning we're going to be featuring Monica Ciroli. But before we get started, Bill, could you thank today's sponsor?
Sure, Ron. Our sponsor today is Patents & More. Patents & More, protecting your innovation and connecting you to the resources you need for success.
That's super. Well, Bill, can you give us some background on our guest today?
Well, I sure can, Ron. In fact, we have to thank Monica for getting up so early. She's actually in California today, so she's an early riser. Monica's a single mom, an actress, a licensed fugitive recovery agent, and also an inventor. She is also an actress, as I mentioned. She wants to chat with us today a little bit about her invention and being an inventor. She says she no longer will let the fear of an idea getting stolen prevent her from getting it out there. And she's tired of seeing her ideas on the store shelves and saying, "I thought of that years ago." So, Monica, with that, why don't we chat a little bit and tell us a little bit on why you waited so long the first time you decided to get a patent.
Sure. Well, you know, the whole process was new to me, and I thought it was going to be way more complicated than it turned out to be. I had never got a patent before, didn't know anything about the process. And the first thing I assumed was, oh, well, as soon as I get it, some big company's going to see it, steal it, and make a fortune, and, you know, I'll just be the little guy. And, you know, I talked to a friend who had made a few patents, and basically he had the software program ready to go. We sat down, wrote it up, and within, you know, 20 minutes it was done. And I realized, wow, I could have done this years ago, and especially with some other ideas that I had many years ago.
Sure. Why did you then wait to submit it for licensing?
Well, I had, like I said, I had this fear that as soon as I put it out there, as soon as it was in the world of patents and patent pending and all that, it would just be stolen. And because it's such a simple product, unfortunately, I can't discuss it yet because it is in patent pending. And
sure,
it's
no,
still
we don't
in the
want you to.
Trying to be licensed. But, you know, it's very inexpensive, and it's inexpensive to make, but it's a great need. And I just assumed that any big company would see it and it would get stolen. And then I finally realized, you know, after 2 years, because I kept thinking, you know, eventually any day now I'm going to see it in the store. Somebody else is going to think of this. And after 2 years and it was still not being produced by anybody else, still not in the stores, I said, well, I've got nothing to lose at this point. Other than, you know, going to the store one day and there it is, and I completely missed out altogether. So I do have the patent pending, so I thought, you know, at this point you've got to at least just try.
Yeah, Monica, we have the saying in the industry that there's only two kinds of inventors, paranoid and more paranoid.
Exactly.
Everybody's afraid somebody's going to steal my idea. They either think they're going to steal it at the beginning when it's just a raw idea. They think it's, you know, once they got patent pending, they're going to steal it then. You know, because it's a David and Goliath kind of situation.
Sure.
But the reality of it is that, you know, it is extremely rare. I mean, I know there's all kind of urban legends out there of a big company, you know, swiping something from a poor, helpless inventor. But the reality is when it's an idea, and even when it's patent pending, it's just extremely rare that it gets stolen, quote. What happens is when it starts selling and doing well, then you got to watch out for infringers, okay?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, because then all of a sudden they realize, oh, this thing sells. Oh, this, what can we do to, you know, either get around the patent or, you know, hopefully we'll sell it and they don't have the resources to sue us, you know, or whatever. So at the beginning, the fears are really unfounded.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, and now I realize, you know, I wasted 2 years. You know, looking back, it's like, okay, it was easy. You know, it's just a matter now of submitting. I've already submitted to two companies, and my prototype right now is within Inventors Business Center, the company owned by Kevin Harrington, who we all know from Shark Tank. And all I did was send them an email. They said, send us your prototype. you know, gave me a non-disclosure agreement to sign, which protects me, and it's been there, and now I'm just waiting.
Yeah, and, you know, the environment for individual inventors has really changed over the years because, say, 10 years ago, most of companies were just like, inventors, go away. You know, we've got our own research and development area. We don't want to deal with you guys. A lot of times, you know, inventors would present a product to a company at, that would be almost identical to a product that the company was already working on. And,
right,
and so
right.
when they tell the inventor, no, we're not interested, and then the inventor would see it on the market a year later, they said, oh, they stole my idea, when the reality was they were already working on it, okay?
Yeah.
And they didn't steal it at all, and they didn't like the lawsuits that, that came. But I think, you know, open innovation now that Procter & Gamble started and things like Shark Tank and American Inventor has really changed the game, and now company after company are having these invention hunts, saying, hunts where they say, you know, we want somebody to invent something that's a new lock, okay, and or a new office product or a new pet product, and they're actually really open and eager to deal with individual inventors.
Oh, yeah, now that I'm actually involved in the entire business and process, I see them all the time, and it's exciting because, you know, I have a couple ideas that I thought of, you know, 8 years ago when my daughter was an infant, and I looked in the stores the other day, there's still nothing like it. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I still got that sitting in the garage somewhere in a box. I'm going to get that thing patented and go with that, you know, now that I know it's not as quite as scary and difficult as I thought it would be.
Yeah, and certain industries, like the baby market, okay, the pet market, those are tremendous markets to innovate in because, you know, they're hungry for new stuff. And the toy and game market, they're always wanting more toys and more games.
Yeah, yeah.
Monica, if you had to give another inventor some advice on how to get over the fear like you had, what would you say to him or he or she?
That you've just got to just realize that if you don't, you'll do nothing, and then you'll just kick yourself about it later. You know, could be 6 months from now, it could be 5 years from now, but you will regret that you didn't even try, because that's finally what got me. I said, you know, 2 years later, you've got the patent now. You've got no excuses. You've got to get it out there, you know.
Sure.
And now these companies make it so easy, you can just basically fill out a form on their website. You know, you've got Home Shopping Channel, QVC, you know, all these companies. And, you know, that's why I was so ecstatic to get contacted by IBC the next day. And I was like, wow, what was I waiting for, you know? And all I had to do was FedEx the prototype with some information. And being an actress, I even made a small video. I had some friends help me, and I did threw in my comedy in there. And it was just, you know, a lot of fun, and it's very easy. And if they don't take it, I'm going to be just on to the next company.
Yeah,
definitely the best piece of advice is just do it.
Well, getting contacted the next.
Simple as that, you know, don't wait. Because if you don't, then you're just going to regret it later.
Yeah, getting contacted the next day, that's fast. And it's so much easier now to make your own video.
Yeah. It was simple, nothing fancy, you know, and everybody's got video recorders, and you can email it now, so it's so much easier.
Mm-hmm. That's really super. So how long have you been coming up with ideas?
You know, since I was a kid, I don't know, maybe it's I was an only child, daughter of an engineer, and I've always been, you know, like a female kind of MacGyver thing, you know. And all the other kids were playing, and I was building our treehouse better, you know, and making it better. And, you know, it's just always something that, you know, watching my dad had a few patents himself on photography products that he used. And, you know, I just learned that, you know, there's always a better way to do something. And it was something that, you know, even like packaging, I would always say, why did they make it this way? You know, they could have done it like this, you know. So I've had ideas since I was a kid and always assumed it was this horrible, lengthy, expensive process to get something out there. And I wish I knew younger what I know now. You know, I go into the store and I see things. I'm like, oh my gosh, I thought of that, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah, because you talk about packaging. Sometimes it's just little simple things that, you know, engages the customer or makes things easier for the customer. I remember when the spin toothbrushes came out, they had a little hole to where you could put your finger through the packaging and actually touch the product and make the spin toothbrush spin. Because
sure.
You know, they sit there and say, try me. You know, and yeah, that's so obvious, but it was pretty novel at the time, you know.
For toothbrushes, yeah, but it's been around for toys for years, you know, and you think somebody would have thought of that earlier, but no.
Yeah, and I know things like, you know, shampoo bottles. For a long time, you know, the tops on those things would be curved. And, you know, most of us, when we get the shampoo down to the last couple of drops, we want to turn that thing upside down. And mm-hmm. finally, a lot of the shampoo people finally figured out to make the top flat so that when you turned it over, you know, it wasn't, you know, falling over. It would actually be stable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The ketchup and mustard people.
Yeah, the ketchup and mustard people figured out the same thing. But
exactly.
How many years did it take them to figure out to make a flat top for when, you know, you were down to the last drop of it, you know?
Oh, I remember being a kid going, okay, we've got Ziploc bags now. Why can't they put the hot dogs already in a Ziploc bag? And now they do. But, you know, I thought of that 20 years ago. I had no idea that I could actually call these companies and make these ideas and suggestions. You know, everything's now in a self-sealed bag.
Yeah, you know, I knew that bacon was in a kind of a self-sealing thing. I didn't realize hot dogs were.
I didn't either.
That's a new one on
me. A few of the brands are doing it, finally.
Have you done that, Monica, where you've called manufacturers and suggested some of your ideas?
You know, not yet, but I've started to do some research because I need to learn a little bit about the process because you can't really patent suggestions or ideas. I mean, not that I know of. So that's something else that I'm interested in because, like I said, I love packaging. I love, you know, the finding frustration on why is it like this and why can't it be like this, you know. So that's something I would really love to get into. I mean, knowing what I know now, I look back going, I wish I went to school for package design or something like that.
Yeah, because I know that the great way to invent is to just observe somebody struggling with something, okay? I remember we had one inventor come in that when he gave his presentation, he says, you know, I'm a failure. And he was actually a really successful inventor, so everybody's kind of puzzled as to why is he saying he's a failure. And he talked about how years ago, you remember we used to have garbage cans with these big round metal things that were heavy that you had to pick mm-hmm. up and lug out to the you know, where they'd be picked up. He had the idea when we had those metal cans of putting wheels on a garbage can. And he told his friends said, that's a great idea. You ought to do something with that. But he was a, you know, owner of a tire store. He had kids to raise, and he did nothing on it. And 10 years later, here comes the first garbage can with wheels.
Wow.
And he's just sitting there kicking himself.
Yeah.
And so finally, it wasn't until he was 72 and retired that he actually invented a device called the Smart Spin that, you know, has sold multiple millions, you know, in all the stores. But finally, he pulled the trigger on an invention.
Yeah,
Monica,
how
many more ideas do you have coming?
I've got about 3 right now that I seriously could get a patent going on very quickly. And if I sat down, I could probably come up with 3 more that I've, you know, been thinking about for the past couple of years.
With your packaging background, do you think you want to develop the product and package it and sell it yourself, or are you thinking about licensing?
Well, if I had the funds, I would love to do that. Unfortunately, you know, I just don't. Being, you know, a single mom, hardworking actress, working freelance as a bounty hunter, you know, in this economy, I don't. But at this point, I would just happily get my product licensed, especially the one that I'm working on right now.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, if I had an investor or something who'd want to work with me on that, that would be great. And, you know, if this one gets going, then maybe I can work on the other ones myself because I would love to be in control of the packaging, the design, and things like that.
Sure.
Well, Monica, you know, you talked about packaging. When you invent, do you invent just the device, or do you also give some consideration to how it's going to be packaged and presented to, you know, to purchasers and everything?
Well, actually, that you mentioned that, the one that I'm working on right now, I've already kind of designed a great display. The package, actually, it doesn't even need to have additional packaging because, you know, I believe that, you know, keeping the less trees and, so many things are packaged with paper and cardboard and things that are unnecessary. My product, it basically doesn't really need any packaging other than you could put a sticker on it or, you know, just a backing to get your company name and information and pricing information on there. So that's what's really great about it, because I really believe on less material the better.
Yeah,
you know, you see so many things these days that it's just a waste. You know, especially I have a 9-year-old daughter, and you know, at Christmas time, when you're opening all these gifts and toys, you're just like, it's amazing. You fill up 2 trash cans with just packaging.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I know I've got twin boys, and when they were young, a lot of times at Christmas time, they played more with the boxes and the tissue paper than they did the actual toy.
Yeah.
So it's really good that you can design things such that they don't need a whole lot of packaging.
I wish more companies would.
Yeah,
you know?
One of the things that frustrates me is when they have a product that's encased in this, you know, sealed plastic, that once you actually buy it and you get it home, it's like, how do I get this thing out of here?
The person who invented those special cutters, they were genius, because I remember complaining my daughter's first few Christmases going, this is insane. You need a chainsaw to get this, you know, my daughter's crying, come on, Mommy, open it, open it, open it. You know, you're practically cutting yourself to get these things open.
Yeah, well, there's been people that have come back, you know, from being overseas in conflict and wars and all like that, and they came through totally unscratched, and then they come home for Christmas, and they get sliced up trying to open up one of those plastic packages, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And a lot of it's due to theft, which is really sad, and that's why, you know, I would love to get involved in getting something a little more practical and easier and be theft-proof.
Monica, in your interview information that you sent me, you also said that the invention that you have with IBC, you think it would sell for around $9.99. Can you tell our listeners how you came up with the $9.99 price point and what your thoughts are?
Oh, yeah, well, the prototype that I made, you know, after, you know, sitting on it and not doing anything for years, because I actually came up with the idea of July of 2008, and I kept waiting, thinking that, you know, it would be on the market. So I decided, well, I'm going to go make my own. And I found a product already out there, and it was being used for something completely different. So I kind of modified it, took it apart, and changed it. That product right there that I bought, that I started with, cost, it was on sale for $1.50. You know, and so the next product I needed to add to mine to modify it for my use cost about $1 itself. So, you know, my product that cost to me in retail was, you know, about $3.50 with tax and everything. Now, I know that, you know, overseas or in huge quantities, you could probably manufacture it for under $1, maybe even 50 cents or less. So, you know, I personally wouldn't pay more than $9.99. I know there's companies out there that would want to sell the product for maybe $15.99, which I don't think would be a good idea. I think less people would buy it. It's not you don't have to have it, but it's a great convenience. And being that my product has been gone now with this IBC company for, you know, a couple months, I really miss it. So I know that, you know, having used it every day for 1 year, I miss it. I need to now go buy another, make another prototype out there. But people would ask me just on the street, oh, where'd you get that? I want to get one of those. You know, it's one of those items that you'd see in the convenience store or any kind of Target or Walmart or anything like that, and go, oh, yeah, I'd like one of those sitting right on the counter. Oh, $9.99, sure, I'll take it.
Did you do any kind of research, Monica, to decide on the $9.99 price point?
Yeah, I did. I contacted some big manufacturers and got estimates from them and was confirmed that, yeah, in huge, you know, 20,000 quantities, you can make it very inexpensive. And I personally think if $9.99 is, I did some research on similar type products, but there's nothing that is exactly like mine. And there are some that are somewhat similar, but they don't have the same function and ease as mine do. And they are selling around $15, but nobody's buying them because I think of the price, and they're not as quick and convenient as mine.
You know, Monica, so I'm traveling, a lot of people ask me, how do you do your research? Can you give our listeners any idea on how you do your research? What kind of vehicles do you use?
When I came up with the idea back in July of 2008, I went to the store to go buy this product, and it wasn't there. And I started asking, you know, people standing next to me in the aisle, hey, where's this? You know, where's that? You know, oh, there isn't one. And I'm like, oh. And I'm thinking to myself, well, that would be a great idea. And I just started asking around to friends, would you buy this? Would you want to use this? And I talked to other people. Oh, yeah, I need something like that. You know, and then word kind of spread, you know, and I still wanted to be very careful because you never know who you talk to might just take that idea and run with it, you know. But it just kind of word of mouth, and then I also asked my friends, well, what do you do with this item? How do you take care of it? You know, what do you store it, you know? And everyone just came, oh, yeah, I would definitely buy that, you know. And I'd ask them, how much would you pay, you know? And some would pay more, some would pay less. But, you know, that's why I think $9.99, under $10, is just a quick, easy. I mean, maybe even less. I'm not sure. That's where I
So you really thought it through, I think. And what about researching it on the Internet, Monica, looking competitors or something that would be a competitor to the product? How did you research on the Internet?
Many, many lengthy hours just going through. That was my first step, actually.
Because a lot of people ask me, you know, where would you recommend a new inventor looking on the Internet, where would you recommend they go?
You know, just Google was my main thing. You know, I just basically would type in the type of product and, you know, three things would come up. 2 years later, same three things are coming up. And then I would go to Google Patents to research, are there any patents in the work for anything similar? Are there anything similar just sitting out there? You know, it's time consuming and it's slow going, but it was the quickest and least inexpensive way to do it.
Well, the big thing I always say to new inventors is that they really do need to research to see if there's any other product out there like it.
Yes.
And Monica, as you were doing your research, did any kind of demographics come up, like male, female, old, young, you know, middle age, you know, single, married, as to who would want your product?
Well, a lot of the guys say, "Oh, I don't know if I'd use that," you know, and I know it can be an ego thing, but it's kind of mixed. I know more women would probably use it just because of convenience, but I know there's a lot of men that would use it, but not in the same way a woman would, which is kind of hard to explain, but, you know, that's what keeps the price point down for me. I think a lot of guys would if it was inexpensive.
Okay, because I know a lot of times I'll look at different inventions and the new products, and I'll look at it and says, you know, I wouldn't buy that. You know, just being a guy and at my age and everything. And my wife will look at it and she says, I want three of them. You know, so
yeah.
It's always important to know who's your target market. It's just like, you know, ringtones. I've downloaded one ringtone to my phone. It's the theme.
Yeah.
It's the theme from Top Gun. Okay. And but, you know, ringtones are a multi-million dollar business, but it's mainly the teenagers, okay?
Yeah.
That's the target market. So it's really important to know who is going to be the buyer, you know, to target
which
things.
Which is so true, you know, especially like ringtones. I've only downloaded one and because it was free.
Oh.
I paid
for mine.
Yeah, see, I won't even pay for one. But, you know, the kids out there, yeah, they definitely want it. And that's what's great about my product. There is a use for it for the teenage market, and there's a whole other end of this product that people aren't even aware that's a health factor about it, which, you know, that's why I can't wait to talk to a licensing company about it when they find out, you know, when people find out that there's health benefits to it as well. And that kind of opens up a whole new area, and that helps, you know, kids, adults, men, and women.
Yeah, that's really important. I know an item like the George Foreman grill, which has been enormously successful. I've never bought one, but my oldest son's got five. I mean, it's like, why do you need five George Foreman grills? I mean, but they're different sizes and different colors and different uses and all like that.
Wow. Yeah. See, now I would if they were very inexpensive. I don't have one, you know. But if you know they were inexpensive and I had a nice big kitchen to store it, and why not?
Yep, that's true. So, Monica, is there any tips or anything that you could give to wannabe inventors that are just starting out?
Well, just get on the computer, start looking around for something similar, you know, talk to companies like, you know, Patents and More. There's so many out there on the Internet. that can help you write a patent, because, you know, it is a little complicated if you've never done something like that before, but it's not that hard, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, you know, and just get that's the first step, you know, and make that prototype. It doesn't matter how crazy it looks. Yeah, you may not have the right material, but just make something, you know, draw it on paper yourself. You know, once you get going, you find out, oh, well, I can make something like that. You know, I thought I could never do it. And then until I just went and bought the parts, sat there with glue and, you know, doing it myself, and I was like, oh, this worked. I actually used it. I've worn out my prototype. You know, I've used it so much. You know, and people see it and think it's an actual store-manufactured item.
How about that? That's cool. Well, Monica, I see that you're on both Twitter and Facebook. If somebody wanted to follow you on Twitter or, you know, connect with you on Facebook, how would they do that?
It's under my name, which is Monika, and then Cirolli, S as in Sam, Irolli. And also I'm on LinkedIn as well, and it's all under my name.
Okay. All right, well, this has really been great. I really appreciate, you know, you getting up at O Dark 30 and there in L.A. to talk with us. But really thank you for being on our show today, Monica.
Well, thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. And hopefully I'll be calling back with some exciting news.
Yeah, I look forward to your victory.
I do as well,
yeah,
Monica.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, well, our listeners have really gotten some great nuggets and learnings that they can use in their launch and their journey, Monica. So thanks again. So another great show, Bill.
It was, Ron, and I want to thank our sponsor today, Patents & More, your trusted guide through the innovation jungle.
And tune in each week at this same time to listen live, or you can go to our website, thelaunchhour.businessradiox.com, to listen at your convenience. Until next week, this is Ron Reardon and Bill McHenry signing off another great session of Launch.